All right. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Sell by Being Human podcast. I'm your host, Alex Smith, and this is the podcast where we learn from people in all walks of life who sell things through the lens of human connection. I think we can learn human skills from all people all around us. This is the place where I'll bring the very best of those people together. Speaking of some of the very best people, this is somebody that I have known on LinkedIn for, we were just joking, for years, three to four years online, almost like this person, almost like I know him personally, like we've met in person, we have a personal relationship, but I've never met him in person. We've only connected on LinkedIn, but I know him so well. This guy, he's just, I love his like statement on LinkedIn, just a track record of positive energy. You know, his title, his business title at work is Senior Director of Sales and Strategic Growth at a company called Modigi, a cloud-based software company, helping sellers with some really interesting things. And, he's also a girl dad. He's also a cancer survivor. He's been a member of like tons of different communities. So if you're in sales and just anywhere online, you probably have heard this guy's name. I am so pleased to welcome none other than D. Acosta to the podcast. Welcome, D.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I feel like we should be under a fan in Florida.
Yes.
Talking life. I you look at my resume, I was looking at it last time, I was like, oh man, this is a good looking resume. But there's been my share of failures, but we'll get into that. There has been success though. I was a number one performing rep at Aberdeen for a long period of time. When Spiceworks of Davis took us over, I was top performing rep that first half of the year. I was top performing rep at Medidata for the time I was there. Great company. We can talk about that. I was head of revenue at Hockey Stack shortly. Great team, great people. We can talk about that too. And now I'm supporting outbound. I know Docebo has a big outbound team. It's hard. We were just talking about emails not landing, and we provide mobile numbers, and that's really part of the future of outbound. But we'll get into that. Yeah, I'd love to talk about. I could talk for days with you, man. So
yeah. Well, D, I always ask people at the start, kind of frame the conversation. I love that, right off the bat, we know we're talking to somebody that's had success in sales. I always kind of contrast really top salespeople with people that aren't in sales and people you wouldn't consider are in sales, yeah. Even though people that listen to this know that I believe like everyone is going to be selling something, selling change, selling something in their life, no matter what their title is. Yeah. So we'll talk about kind of like what you do and kind of how people can learn from what you do. But Dee, I always start off, we'll talk about you in a second, the person that you are, being a dad and how that relates to sales. Yeah. And I'd also love to learn about your cancer journey too. But before I get into those things, Dee, I always like to ask people at the start of this thing, about the title of the podcast, Sell by Being Human.
Yeah.
So when I say the term to you, Dee, sell something and sell it by being human, what does that first come to mind to you when you hear that term?
Yeah. Yeah. I, the first word is authenticity. So I often think about YouTube influencers and mine are like, I don't like Mr. Beast is great, but I'm big in history. I have my hobbies and I look at those influencers and the authenticity that they're able to deliver is what captivates me. I don't know how you can bottle that up or describe that, but in sales, there's a lot of things that we can do, practice. There's so many great sales methodologies, stuff from Ted Orlob and Chris Orlob and Jen Allen recommend are just life-saving for so many reps. They're game-changing, challenger sales game-changing. But finding that authenticity of voice is something that if you're young, you got to find. And that doesn't mean you sound like me. It means like you sound like yourself. So that's what I think selling human is. And then caring about the people. So, there's a lot about gifting. And I actually talked to someone very smart at one of the gifting platforms. I'm like, hey, man, it's not about sending swag, right? It's not about sending, I've gotten plants, I've thrown away champagne glasses. It's about impacting their life, and showing that you care. And I think there's that company starting to pick it up. There's some things with regulations. Like, I didn't know this, but most enterprises, you know, public companies, you can't send more than $50 in a year worth of gifts. But if it's logoed, the rules get a lot. So if you take someone to play golf and you give them a golf club that says your company's name and they're, you know, chief of compliance over at, you know, Fidelity Investments, it might be okay. But if you just send them a golf club or a wedding gift, they're going to have to return it. So, yeah.
Well, I love what you said about being authentic, you know, because a lot of people have said similar things. And I think, but you, it's a very buzzworthy word, authenticity.
Yeah, it is.
People are like, yeah, of course, people be authentic. I'm kind of curious, like, you know, like thinking back at your life, like, can you think of those people in your life that you would describe as authentic, and kind of what are the things that they did to make you believe that, either friends or family or, you know, relatives, yeah, that sort of thing?
So one that I worked with early in my career, his name is Tom Pelleria. He's at Epsilon, very successful individual. He's a hard charger. He's great. He's unique. I'm not going to say he's crazy because that's, you know, he's amazing. And he's the best salesperson I ever met. And when we met, he was younger than me and he was doing $1 million plus, you know, big deals. He was hitting number by start of Q2. And he's a unique individual and he never stepped away from that. And that's what drove that success. So those things that were grating about his personality, right? You know, like, because he was intense, that directness drove a lot of that success. And I don't, you know, he was, things in his life, his personality, you can build to that. You know, you see it a little bit, a few wins can help. There's also someone else in my life, and this story is tragic. So he was like an unofficial uncle, my dad's best friend. And he was also very direct. You know, he would just like, that dress is ugly. You know what I mean? Like that type of, you know, what are you doing? Oh my goodness. And he was very successful until the Great Recession occurred and he was in investments and he tried to take his life. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, there's a double-edged sword. I don't know what that is, but that authenticity, you know, is also like, look, we're having a conversation now, right? I can be authentic with you. Man, I had an event last night. Great event. This isn't criticism, but it was the middle of Boston. Driving to Boston in the rain is like a nightmare. It takes an hour. The room was packed, so I didn't do much. I'm a great networker, but I'm like, I don't feel comfortable like wiggling in between people. Mm-hmm. And then the dinner, I was like at the table without my buyers. You know, I get it. So I woke up this morning, bad mood. Right. You know, I went to bed late because of the event. And then I had a doctor's appointment. The doctor's the worst, man. I'm like, how can airplane security get me through faster than you guys? Like, here's a kiosk. So, you know, I was in a terrible mood up until, you know, maybe 10:30 a.m. my time. So, you know, what does that mean? Am I being authentic now? I don't know. But these are things that we have to think about. You know, maybe this is my authentic self when I'm talking with people and talking business and ideas. Or maybe my authentic self is when it's, you know, 8 in the morning, you're getting woken up. I got to go to the doctors and I'm ready to kill everything and everything stinks. And I ski, there's no snow on the ground. So it's definitely a tough one to quantify. You got to find that for yourself. And it's hard to fake, right? It's hard to fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's that what you last said is just really true because, you know, I think part of being authentic is just being aware of yourself, like asking yourself, like in those situations, like, how do I feel? Like, do I want, like, I just drove a ton, you know, maybe I'd normally like walk around, but right now I'm just feeling like I want to kind of, you know, yeah, not put on a mask and not try to be fake and, you know, maybe meet a couple people and maybe you have the stones, I guess, or whatever you want to say to tell people like, hey, you know, I've just Man, I'm just not feeling, super energetic right now. I just got, through an hour and a half car ride and, I'm feeling pretty down, And, so it's just, it's being authentic, being able to, can kind of understand your emotions in the moment and not being afraid to like tell people that. 'Cause I guarantee you, if you are that authentic with people will like, it's scary as heck, like being able to, not seem weak, you don't want to go to a networking event and be like, I'm in a terrible mood. But you can just, kind of let people in a little bit and they could be like, you know what, D, like, I'm glad you told me, like, I actually was in the same traffic or I was dealing with something at home. And now all of a sudden you can both kind of not commiserate, but like you can kind of connect with each other because you're like, you know what, I feel comfortable sharing with D because he shared with me. And now
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
we can be more comfortable with each other if, we're in, in the future, we're in some situation where maybe I'm, kind of selling something or not. But, yeah.
I want to add, I was at the Alluvience event 2 weekends ago, and shout out to the team there. Incredible event. People want to be open. Like, they do. Sales is really hard right now. I keep hearing from individuals, motivation's at the lowest. Think about, we're not going in the office and learning. We're not becoming friends with, Joe Smith, or Jane, we're not, that's not happening. And, it's really hard right now. The models change for sales. So hearing these people open up, and the biggest surprise to me was how much loss there was in these people's lives. So, these people, I lost my mother in my 20s, right? I was starting my career, and, that defined me. And, there's people who lost 16, one individual, and I don't want to share too much. His mother, so COVID delayed a donation, organ donation, and she died because they weren't
Oh
able to
my
make that
goodness.
donation. Yeah, the hospitals were locked down, and I was like, "Hey, man, you're not the only one." Like, and Jen Allen, I pick on her a lot because I have a lot of admiration for her. Her father died during COVID. Never told anyone. She just started opening up about it.
Previous guest on the podcast, love Jen, and
Oh yeah, she's
yeah,
amazing.
we've connected a lot over our fathers, 'cause yeah, mine was at the beginning. I couldn't even imagine, going through COVID and not being able to see your parents and go through something like that. Because mine, at least I got to, kind of share time at the very end. But, it was right in March of 2020. So,
Oh my
yeah,
goodness.
no, I mean, there's a lot of loss. There's a lot of things people are dealing with out there. And I think people just, think, okay, I gotta, authenticity isn't about just airing every personal thing that's going on with you, or and that's not either like vulnerability and authenticity aren't that. It's being able to understand kind of and ask yourself like has this person is this person earned the right to know something really, really personal? And maybe, like you said, you don't give them everything. And like she said, she didn't even open up about it. She kind of put on a mask, and she's a great seller. Or not a mask, but just kind of, just kind of, it's not something you bring up on the first time meeting someone or in the first couple, 3 or 4 times meeting someone. But, there are like, I would just challenge everyone out there to like see if there you can find threads to connect with people on. Because if you can say, you know what, yeah, I'm going through some stuff. I'm thinking a lot about my dad. A year or two ago, unfortunately, I lost him, and I think about it all the time. And you can kind of keep it to like a 1 or 2 sentences and see if people pull on that. They just be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. But other people might go, Alex, I lost my mother or father during the same period of time, and now you're like connected. So it's just kind of being willing to share a little thing here and there, not going on a whole rant about kind of what's going on, just a little thing here and there that go. Because you know what, D, I noticed something. Tell me if this was intentional. You go to D's profile. This is not like typical with most LinkedIn profiles. Most LinkedIn profiles are lengthy, even mine. Like I almost use all the words available, but he just says, essentially what he's doing. He's a, record of positive energy, $20 million, in business. He's, dedicated follower of the Challenger methodology, proponent of diversity. But then he just says, just at the very end, cancer survivor, 2022. Not a story, not type, not a type, not anything. And I'm sure people are like, interesting, cancer survivor, So am I. So is my mom. What? How many people do you connect with you and go, I'm a cancer survivor too. You know, thanks for putting that out there. And it's, like, was that intentional?
You know, I posted about it and, you know, I kind of hide it because I don't like to, you know, brag or bring attention to myself. You know, it's kind of human nature not to, but it's funny how people notice it. Like, of all the things to notice, that's what they notice. And I think it's, you know, just resonates with people that it gets what we talk about, right? Like, I hide girl dad. You know, I have a picture of my daughter there. You got to really look for it, but I hide that and people will mention it. And, you know, there's a great sales leader said, hey, don't ask about the weather. And I had another great sales leader was like, we're tracking when you ask about the weather and, you know, upfront contracts. And, you know, I'd rather be asked about the weather. You know, we're having unusual weather. Like if it's warm or if it's snowing a lot, you know, I live in Boston, I ski. I'd much rather be asked than that, than be told, hey, this is the agenda. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions and then try to sell you stuff. You know, like I'm like, I try that agenda and I'm always like, ugh. You know, I think keeping up front, hey, you know, just going to have a dialogue and, you know, keep it more casual. Just have a dialogue. If there's a fit, we'll do this, I think is better. But yeah, ask me about if the weather's crazy, especially now, work from home world. Everybody's like, please, something personal. It's opened up. It completely.
Yeah. I just think people, because, yeah, everyone wants to hate on the weather. Every sales, know, advice is about the weather. And I have another take on it. I agree. I think, you know, I don't like to talk like just generically, like, how's the weather where you are?
Yeah.
Like a question like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like questions that are like, hey, listen, I noticed that you're in, you know, Tampa or in Miami, D, or wherever. Yeah. You know, typically, absolutely, like this time of year, the last time I was in Miami, it was like 80 degrees and we were on the beach and awesome. Oh, yeah. Like, what is life like you this time of year? And how is it different from like other years you've been in Miami?
Yeah.
And you can be like, oh, yeah, man, like I'm with you. Like last year, this time I was out on my boat, I did this or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a little more thoughtful. It's a little more like, okay, I in that question, I told you a little bit about me. I told you, like, I showed you I knew about where you live. I told you maybe something you were into. Maybe you give an opportunity to say, yeah, I like to fish. I like to do whatever. So, like, the weather isn't a bad kind of discussion. It's just kind of
exactly
how you think about asking or talking about it to kind of bring out conversation, not just like a generic, like, I have to ask, I have to build rapport, so I need to talk about, you know, the weather. It's just, you know, people like to talk about it. So let them talk about it, but let them talk about it in a way that, like, you know, is an entryway to a much brighter conversation, in my opinion.
So,
right.
So I'm going to go against the grain here. So there's a lot of great AI tools for helping you do pre-research. It's gotten me away from researching the individual, right? So just going to their LinkedIn, seeing if they're on Twitter, you know, stuff like that. You're seeing if we're connected on Facebook. I don't do that as much anymore now, but you know, it's just doing that pre-research in the individual. I've been focusing more on, okay, what are their initiatives? What do their leadership say? What do their 10K say? And, you know, it's none of it's relevant. You know, 90% of 10Ks are, we're going to be more efficient and we're going to sell more. And the other 10% doesn't relate to you. You know, we're not selling RFPs. We're not selling cloud infrastructure where, hey, you know, their current IT environment and, you know, stuff like that. It's just, it's gotten me away from what is more important and seeing someone, what they post on, you know, is just far, far more valuable with that first discovery call than, you know, spending too much time on some of these AI tools. The AI tools are valuable, like Copy AI is amazing. But I think you know what I mean. Like, there's only so much information we can glean publicly before, you know, through AI at least, before it starts to become detrimental. I mean, there's pre-sales teams for a reason. You know, someone gets $1 million RFP, there's an entire pre-sales team dedicated to analytics, understanding what technologies they use. You know, we're selling 50K SaaS. It's just, hey, you want more efficiency from your employees? This is how we're going to deliver that. You know, it's just, it gets crazy. The individual is really what counts.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of like, you know, you've had a lot of success, you know, throughout your career. You know, what are some of the, like, what are some of just the like I like to call them human skills. Like, you know, like I like to separate kind of the fundamentals and the frameworks and the methodologies, like you said, like, you know, the Challenger sale is phenomenal, you know, work and reading, and I kind of like, yeah, that's a methodology. But what do you think, like, if you had to look, what are things that you think you excel at really well, or that you've had to lean on in terms of just like, you know, I don't call them soft skills. I call them human skills. Yeah. What are some skills that you think that you like exhibit on your sales calls throughout, or that you try to at least work on exhibiting throughout your career?
Yeah, great question. Number one is radical candor. You just have to ask those hard questions. And I have stories there. If you go through a difficult, you know, I was watching a YouTube video. They talked about type one and type two fun. Like type one is everybody has a good time, you know, like you have a great dinner and everyone remembers it. Type two is, you know, you go hiking and you get lost and, you know, you have to sleep in a leaky tent. That type two experience is much more memorable and builds a better bond. My daughter says, hey, the rattier the Airbnb, the more memorable the experience. So if you're, you know, going to go through some type two, you know, conversations, right? Hey, we're willing to do this POC, but we need alignment here. Hey, we're willing to do this, but we need to meet with a member of the executive team on the next call. Hey, what are your KPIs? Can you hit your KPIs without us? What happens if you don't hit your KPIs? You know, those tough questions really are invaluable. The other thing is domain expertise. So I was fortunate to work for Aberdeen for 11 years. I sat in on literally 1,000 briefings, analyst briefings, right? You know, from my late 20s to my late 30s, you know, wearing my, you know, my suit, these older guys. And, you know, there's a fundamental domain expertise. I know more about the status of AI. I know more about the AI analyst community. You know, people like the group at the Cube, Dave Vellante is amazing. And I know more about that part of the business than your general SaaS rep. So being able to talk about those fundamental technologies, have understanding of that, and have understanding of how they're implemented and how they're developed, right? Like, if you sell to enterprise, you have to know Snowflake, you have to know database, you have to know how analytics and BI are approved. You know, like learning management, I candidly don't know that much, but I'm sure there's so much stuff you have to know about how it's KPIs, how what success look like, how it's run. Now, you know, I've sold to marketers my entire career, and now I'm having to learn the sales role, right? And something that's new to me is productivity. So for a startup, productivity, they don't care, right? They need revenue, right? They need closed one. They need opportunities. They need opportunities, conversion, you know, close one, and, you know, better forecasting along with that. Enterprises, it's different. They need productivity in terms of, hey, how little can we spend and how much we can get out of them? And that's a new concept to me when talking to buyers, because my whole career has been, you know, marketers, they need to look good. They need pipeline. They need a good idea. They need to solve it. Whereas, you know, the head of the outbound team at AWS, he's got to look at revenue per rep and he's got to report on that. And that's a very different conversation to have to say, hey, you know, how much are you spending on this now? Yeah. You know, how much does a solution cost? Right. So, yeah.
I like that framework of like, you know, radical candor in sales. Cause like, I think, people may think that they're asking a tough question, but they're not really being tough enough. Like if the question, in my opinion, doesn't make you a little uncomfortable to like get out, then it's not hard enough. Or if it's like you're really trying to you're really worried about like what the answer is going to be, like, or if the stakes of like the question, you know, kind of like if you're afraid of, like if you're not afraid of asking it, then it's not a hard enough question. Oh. Let's just say that. But I think if the stakes of the question are getting you to some, you know, potential outcome, or there's not revenue tied to your question, because all of those things you were asking were like, you know, how is that, you know, what does it mean if you don't hit your KPIs, and are you hitting them, and like people don't want to tell you, people may not even know, but like at the end of the day, like they're not changing unless it's a big enough problem, and unless those answers are like clear, you know? So like you're just coming across as someone who's like not afraid to ask it, like has their best interests at heart and knows like, okay, we're here for a reason, you know, right? Like it shows that you're like actually in the conversation and you're actually like talking about like what they should really care about, not just like, you know, features that they, you know, may need and answering questions that they're asking you, right?
And you have to earn credibility there.
You have to earn the right to ask those questions for sure.
And, you know, there's talk about, you know, rapport and how important that is and likability. And, you know, if you sell high demand product you don't have need rapport, right? It's high in demand. You can just get to it and provide value. You have a lot of inbound leads. There's no need for rapport. Early in my career, I didn't know how to do rapport. But if someone doesn't know that they need you, you need to build that. You need to build that rapport. And that's hand in hand with credibility. And I'll give you an example. I had a call. It was like 3 days from the end of the quarter. We had buy-in from number two in marketing, our champion, but we had a skeptical CMO. And, you know, I asked our champion, hey, can you do your job without us? And it was like, no. But yeah, it's going to be really hard to accomplish our goals without this. And I still think about, you know, that question. And that was a question that I'd rehearsed, I'd written down. So if you're out there and you don't feel comfortable with these questions, you know, get in front of a mirror, a Zoom, record it, you know, whatever. But I met with a fantastic SDR leader. He's like, I'm worried that my lack of closing experience will hurt me. And I said, hey, man, I'm here to role play at any time, but if you need to, just get a dang post-it, post it in the corner of the laptop, and when the time comes to ask it, pretend you're Spock, just ask it. It's like with pricing. How much do you cost? $50,000. You know, just go into pricing. You know, you could preface it some, but yeah.
I have to ask a follow-up, so I love that. I love that you were just like, hey, like, can you do your job without us? Now, how did that person get the buy-in from the CMO that was skeptical then? Because like the CMO obviously wants everybody's job to be done right. And I know the CMO probably cares about their second in line, but how did you coach them on, you know, did you say, okay, well, how does the CMO know that? Or like, what are your conversations with your CMO? Like how did you connect it to what CMO cares about?
I have a great relationship, had a great relationship with the champion and the number two, and continue to do so. I text with our champion all the time, but we came prepared. You know, we did our pre-research. We had our talking points. We had our demo, and you know, we had, you know, at the time ROI statements weren't that big, but we had an outcome planned. And you know, I think the CMO seeing that and seeing how bad our team wanted it, and that they couldn't, the seed was there that they couldn't do their job. And you know, this is how funny it is, how small tech is. So I'd known that CMO. She was at a company. I was like, they're finally going to work with us, and they were acquired. This was like 15 years ago. Shout out to everyone who's been in it late in a deal and they get acquired.
That's funny. Yeah.
But, you know, what was the story there? So
you've been working with her 15 years ago. They got acquired.
Yeah. So I knew her. I knew her personality. And then I went on, we're both MassBase, so I went on Facebook and looked her up and looked up, this sounds horrible, but looked at her husband, saw she had kids. And, you know, you can develop a persona pretty quickly. And knowing that really helped with that deal. Like, this isn't, you know, kind of a metrics-driven RevOps person, right? You know, it's a marketer, right, that loves solving the problems and loves solving the challenges with creativity. And that's something for anyone selling to CROs. You know, there's two types of CROs. There's old sales guys that are drowning, and then there's data-driven CROs who are awesome to be with, who look at the data. So, you know, it's something to note. I'm not suggesting you stalk your buyers on Facebook, but man, if you do get some info there, how many kids they have, like that type of lifeographic data is so valuable.
Sure. Well, tell me, like, any advice for folks, like, as we kind of wrap up here, like, what would you tell the person that maybe doesn't have a quote? I would love advice that you would carry for your career for the trained salesperson that's been doing this 20 years, and then the quote unquote non-salesperson, someone that doesn't have a quota, that's not in a quota bearing role, that's not really selling. Like what advice do you have for that person that maybe doesn't really know sales, they haven't been trained on it, but yet they will be faced with something? Like how can they maybe, you know, get a leg up on and how can they just simplify sales? What advice would you have for that person?
Yeah, great question. So sales changes a lot. It changed because of COVID, it's changed after. I mean, everyone's doing POCs and land and expand now deals. ROI is incredible, the CFO is involved in every deal. You cannot rest on your laurels if you want to be good. You have to be an eternal learner. And if you're young, that means, hey, you'll get your 10,000 hours in being an eternal learner. If you're older, it means, hey, you'll get better and you'll stay employed. I'm in my 40s. You know, there's a lot of sales reps who kind of just check out at that age, right? They've done it. It's hard. And there's a lot of sales reps younger who check out. It's just kind of natural. Like, you know, you get older, or you get better, or make more money, or you check out. So you really have to emphasize those learnings. Right now, it's a little hard because there's so much on LinkedIn. You're like, who do I trust? You know, trust the greats, but, you know, distill that and work on it. Work on what works for you. So I really only had one, maybe two sales mentors. At Aberdeen, I had a great manager. He was only my manager for like a year, and then it was like on my own. And, you know, quickly I became the smartest salesperson there. I ain't going to lie. At Spiceworks at Davis, that was the same. It was just not the most sophisticated organization. And then I went to Medidata, and the team there was incredibly smart, good salespeople. Olivier is an incredible operator. Olivier Lab is an incredible operator. He's get him going if you need help. They taught me so many things. And Danny Reed, who is my manager, is younger than me. And he was amazing. Like, he had so many good ideas and would talk through problems. He's probably the best sales manager I've had. And he was younger. He was quite a bit younger than me. So, you know, keep learning. You might not have a mentor, or it might be fleeting, but take as much as you can from that. And, you know, if you're young, you'll get those 10,000 hours. You'll get those 10,000 hours of Zoom calls and dinners that you have to drive to and are too late and the room's crowded and you don't want to get a cold. And if you're older, you have those 10,000 hours. But, you know, at the same time, don't think those 10,000 hours are going to reflect what's happening now. You know, I posted about email. Like, email used to be a great channel, you know. Now I work at a company who no one knows who we are, and their buyers are getting flooded with AI. And someone suggests you need to send 1,000 emails a day by 10 domains. And I'm like, that just shows email's not working. No AE can do that, because the AE, you know, if that gets detected, the credibility of the AE is gone, right? With that type of outreach. Yeah. I do want to give a shout out to your team. I've met your team. They are exceptional over the phone. So maybe there's something there, but your team is very good.
Nice. Well, perfect. We'll talk afterwards after this. Well, D, you know, I want to like just give you a little bit of a plug. And this is a fun question I ask all my guests. And it shows like, look, we're all unique, different people, and everyone has a different answer to this question. And we talked a lot about authenticity, and this is a question straight to your authenticity. So D, if I asked you like your friends and family, the people that know you the best, what is something about you that is just so totally D? Maybe it's something that happened to you that would only or could only happen to D Acosta. What would they tell me?
Gosh, I don't know. My dad knows me better than anyone, and he could tell you so many just D things. My sister probably as well. You know, I love getting excited about things. So, you know, you plan that vacation, you get excited about it, or family members coming, and you get excited about it. So that is almost as much joy as the actual event.
Okay, you're like, you get hyped up like as it gets closer.
Dude, I vacation. Love it. And even little things like going on an event, you know, and I get very sad and disappointed if, you know, it gets canceled or something happens. I remember my my dad called me and he was like, I have a really bad cold. I can't come to visit. I know you're going to be really sad. I know how you are. And I'm like, yeah, dad. The other thing is, man, I'm direct. Like I am, you know, for better or for worse, I have a hard time. So if I see something not working or seeing something dumb being done. So I'll give you another story. We worked at Aberdeen, went in the office when we went in the office and they were doing construction, like loud construction. And I'm like, what is, like, there's tons of offices. We can't do anything. I called the police department. I'm like, there's the police, you know, there's unsanitized construction, you know? And my manager found out and I'm like, look, man, dude, no one's getting hurt from this. Like we can't do our job. And, you know, this is when work from home for me was like still kind of taboo. I'm like, I'm not going to go, you know, he could like, you just work from home. And I'm like, what? You know, like.
You got to be in the office. That's so funny.
Yeah.
All right. Don't mess with D. You call the cops on you. All right. Well,
that construction team deserved to have the cops. Call.
I have no doubt. Well, D, as we wrap up, man, where can people like just like connect with you and just kind of. Learn more about your story and everything.
Yeah. So, LinkedIn, of course, Modigi, we updated the website. I have to give a shout out to Ken or they both start with K's, Keith or CRO, who's done a lot of work to it. I've seen the draft and the next iteration and it looks great. So Modigi.com, Modigie. I think I get it right. And then I do have my own podcast show. I'll have to get you on, Alex, but getting some real operators on. And then, yeah, I'm vocal. I mean, LinkedIn is the best way, sales communities. But, I mean, you're stuck with me forever, Alex. Like, you know, we've known each other for 4 years, but now you're, like, you know, really stuck with me. So, yeah, that's some of the authenticity. So, yeah, reach out to me if you're young. You know, I offer this and no one takes up. If you want to work through a deal, you know, just put 30 minutes on my calendar and say you want to work through a deal. Let's work through it together because I think that's the best advice for going through a deal. I'm talking too much. So Alex and Mark Casaglo, who are both wonderful people, Alex shared, hey, he had a big deal. He went into Mark and Mark's like, yeah, because Mark's, he's got this great energy. He's like, yeah, you're going to kill it. You're going to kill it. Just say this. And Alex went on to do it and he tanked. And he shared that the reason I tanked is because I did it the way Mark would do it. I did it in his voice and what he would say. And that wasn't my relationship with the deal and the way I would say it. I'm like, man, dude, I just want to hug that statement because it's so true. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You too, man. If you ever want to work through a deal,
I will take you up on that. And everyone should. Like, I'm going to have D's information in the notes, gang. So, you know, just what he said, like, sell like you, be you, let others find ways to get to know you, even if it's scary or hard. So thank you, D, for dropping some awesome stories today on the podcast and for finally for us having a face-to-face after all these years. I'm sure it won't be the last. Thank you so much.
No, we'll be in Florida, you know, drinking virgin mojitos and
I'm in. My might have a little alcohol in it, but we'll see. All right. Well, thank you so much, D, for joining
awesome,
the podcast,
brother.
Man.
Yeah. Take care.
And you too. Bye. Hey, gang. All right. Wow. You made it to the end. I know your time is valuable, so thank you from the bottom of my heart for spending your time here with me. If you heard a quote you liked, got a quick bit of value, or you have an idea that can help convince others to join, I urge you to take a minute and leave a 5-star rating and review. That helps us gain influence and bring some really great guests on to add even more value to you and others. You can also always contact me directly to tell me your thoughts. I'd love to hear from you. All my info is in the notes. Let's help convince anyone that they have the ability to sell well just by being great humans. And this podcast is proof. All right. See you on the next episode of Stories of Selling Human.